And of course, since that time, both his daughters started smoking. I said, okay, I'll make you all a proposition. All of you that want to join in, guarantee it won't hurt you, be better for you all. I'll say from now on, I'm an abstainer. No more smoking. How many of you going to be with me? Nobody but my boys and so I'll do. And sure enough, for a whole year, then he started in again. And I could smoke right now. You know, if I take one cigarette, you're like an alcoholic, you know, and you're back on it again. But I quit. It didn't bother me much. I quit. I still kind of look back and think how good they tasted. When the real trialing period came, how that cigarette kind of helped soothe me all this and that. But I said, why should I? I go back to that old Swede we used to have here in town. His name was Gustav. His name was so much to our native here, people get him mixed up. And they made a remark, and he says, oh, well, we can eliminate that. He says, just call me Polecat Pete. And everybody knew him as Polecat Pete. Most people didn't know his name. He told me one day, he says, Swiss, I smoked for years. He was a Swedish sailor. He deserted. So he got to Australia. And he came over here. And I asked him one day his folks were. He said, well, he has two sisters and a brother in Sweden. I said, well, don't you ever think about going back? He says, yes, but I can't. I said, why not? He says, I'm subject to punishment. All right, anyhow, he says that smoking is for the birds. I got to the conclusion that if God wanted man to smoke, he'd put a smokestack in his head. I said, Pete, you're smart thinking. He says, just like one day I cleaned yard for Mrs. So-and-so, and she had a lot of homemade wine. And I had to move, and she says, Pete, if you want to drink some, go ahead. Help yourself. I drink, and that tastes good, and I drink some more. All at once, I look over that hedge, and there I saw two women, they look alike. I says, Pete, you've got enough.
You know, what you said about that person said about the way he liked his coffee, he liked it like his women, black and hot. I was talking to a man up in Corsicana, and he said that when he went to school at Texas A&M, it was back in the days when it was an all-male school at the core and all that. And there apparently weren't many white women in town. So what they did on the weekends was go out and then find these colored girls, you know? And apparently they were pretty open about it. And that just kind of struck me as peculiar, you know? Did you ever hear about anything like that going on in these parts?
Oh, I guess it did. I didn't ever hear anything in particular, no. Latins, Mexicans, yeah. I heard a soldier said I was doing World War II. And I knew the two girls he's talking about. And he said one night, he was down in saloon. After that, headed out for the base. They had to be reported back, you know, by midnight. And he says, they saw two Mexican girls described, and that's why I know who they were, because they were generally known as such, walking down the railroad track. And he had his partner with him. He says, let's catch each one. He says, boy, we got pretty close to them. We run for them. And they run and scream top of the voice. But he says, by the time we got our arm around them, one of them already was sticking their appendage down.